But the Jews, there were four times a day that there were times of prayer. They prayed in the morning at the third hour, 9 o'clock, at midday, at 3 p.m., at 6 p.m. And the strict Jew was careful to adhere to each of these. But sure as Jesus went about Jerusalem from time to time, that he noted certain people praying. And at least on one occasion likely saw two individuals, two different men with two different prayers and two different results. Luke records this story, this parable, Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. He spake this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. I'll be reading from the New King James. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector, or publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed this with himself, or thus with himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Earlier in Luke chapter 18, Jesus had told another story or another parable that dealt also with the subject of prayer. That story was the persistent widow. We had that as part of a lesson a couple of weeks ago. But in that story of the persistent widow, Jesus taught the value of persevering in prayer. Chapter 18, verse 1 says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Keep on praying, Jesus said. But in the parable that's before us today, in this story, earthly story with a heavenly meaning, the parable of the Pharisee and the publican or tax collector, Jesus teaches us how and in what manner we ought to pray. Our attitude, if our prayer is to be heard of God. That attitude expressed in verse 14. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Two men, two prayers, two different results. First of those men was a Pharisee. The other was the tax collector. The Pharisee was looked at by many people as the most religious individual of the day, and the publican was looked down as probably the most hated individual of the day. He was a tantamount to being the IRS. Pharisee, the name literally means the separated ones, and I'm sure that many of them separated themselves practically, almost totally from society, that they were able to do all the many petty things that they did, or little things that they did, that they thought would be pleasing to God. They were a sect of the Jews, one of the two main groups, the other being Sadducees. Now, there was William Barclay in his book, And Jesus said, has this to say about these Pharisees. So the Jewish scribes and rabbi had added to the Ten Commandments and others of God's law until their version of the law included tens of thousands of petty regulations covering every moment and action of life. And we understand the word regulation, don't we? It's been in recent news regarding various governments in our country. But the Pharisees sought to keep as many of these petty regulations, or at least maybe outsiders thought them petty. They didn't think them as being so petty. But they tried to keep as many as possible. And in doing so, they knew that they were good. And everybody else, they believed everybody else was bad. Jesus had this to say in Matthew 23, verse 23. If you want to hear what else he had to say, read that whole chapter of Matthew 23. But in Matthew 23, and verse 23 was one of the woes. Many woes were in that chapter. W-O-E. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law. Justice, mercy, and faith. These ought you have to done without leaving the others undone. So Jesus knew what was in the heart of men. This was his picture that he painted of the Pharisees. This man was praying. Tax collector. Tax collector was also praying on that occasion. They were considered by the Pharisees to be traitors. They were considered to be extortioners. Extortioners because they had the ability to extract from the population just about what tax the traffic would bear. They had to, in turn, return a portion that had been delegated to them to collect to the Roman government. So in that situation, they were looked at as traitors because Rome was the occupying enemy, the occupying force of Palestine, hated by the Jews. Thus, those Jews who became tax collectors for that occupying force became traitors. They're working against us, would be what the people said. So they were hated. Two men. Two prayers. Pharisees started out quite well in his prayer. I thank you, God. Well, maybe this man is going to pray and thank God for all the many blessings that he's received. But then we look further and I thank you that I'm not like others. What a thing to say before his God. I'm thankful that I'm not like other people. Example, this tax collector over here. God, I'm just not thankful. Oh, it's a good thing you got me, God. He said, let me hand you my resume, God. I fast twice a week. I know that we don't necessarily have to fast, but once a year. But I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. Well, I think Jesus said one time, said that I gave 10% tithes of the herbs in my garden, even. Now, there was a saying of a rabbi. William Barclay also wrote this down. And he said that rabbi had a handle on really what the situation was with the Pharisees and their attitude. This is what he said. Rabbi Simeon was his name, a certain rabbi. Said, if there are only two righteous men in the world, I and my son are those two. That's what the Pharisee would say. If there's only one, righteous man. You're looking at him. I'm he. What an attitude. What an attitude. An attitude of arrogance. His prayer was officially a prayer of thanksgiving, I guess you would say. At least it started that way. But it really turned into self-congratulations, didn't it? He was not really grateful to God, but he was extremely well pleased with himself. Almost like that. Who was the little boy put his thumb in that pie and pulled out a plum and said, "What a good boy am I?" That's what the Pharisees did. God, I know you don't know this, but look what a good guy I am. I mean, it's me. It's just me. I just go beyond what's required of me. That's just the way I am. The opposite of our lesson title of humility, isn't it? He had no plea to make, for he wasn't aware that he had any difficulties, that he had any problems, that he needed anything. He even drags the publican into his prayer and trying to compare himself with that man to his own advantage. And to his disadvantage. I'm thankful I'm not like this man over here, God. Look at me. Now, the publican, his situation was one where he really didn't want to be seen by others. Now, the Pharisee stood, didn't he? He stood there. And I don't know whether that was a typical posture of prayer, I think, for any of them. The publican, though he must have been the most hated of individuals in town, yet he came to pray. He came to the temple where others were praying. He wasn't ashamed to pray. The Bible says he stood afar off. Perhaps, as one man said, that perhaps he was overwhelmed by his own unworthiness. The very idea of him going before God and begging of God to help him. And his posture, he would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. But he beat his breast, beat upon his breast. George Buttrick had this to say about this man. He said, "You know, every stroke in the picture of the publican deepens the impression of humility. You can just tell by the description that Jesus gives. Here is a man I need to emulate. Here is an example for prayer, for my prayer to be heard of God." And the prayer of the tax collector who recognized who he was before God and recognized who God was. "Be merciful. God, be merciful to me." Most translations there say "a sinner." Some of the writers in the New American Standard used a different word. Instead of "a," it used the word "the." John will appreciate this. I actually looked it up, John. In an interlinear Bible that translated the Greek to the English literally, it says "the." It says "the." "Be merciful, God, be merciful to me, the sinner." It's as if the publican regarded himself as the sinner par excellence. "You're looking for an example of sinner. Just look at me." Man expressed his repentance and humility, really, in what he was saying, though he didn't say a whole lot of words. But he had a whole lot to say, didn't he, in his attitude. His attitude. He called himself the sinner. The sinner. Pleading to God for mercy. For God's grace. For God's help. Two different men. Two different prayers. Two different results. Says concerning the tax collector, Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified. Not guilty. Not guilty. Forgiven. He had received the blessing that David spoke of in Psalm 32 and verse 1, where David said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now, the Pharisee also goes on with nothing. He asked for nothing. He received nothing. The most he had gotten was the reward of being seen. You know, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount spoke of those who went into the marketplace and prayed on the street corners to be seen of men. He said the type of prayer you need to have is a closet type prayer. A closet type prayer. And one thing I guess that stands out as far as the publican, he knew his own sin and he got nearer to God than the Pharisee did. Even though the Pharisee could see all of his virtues, all of his righteousness, and pointed it out to God. Two different men, two different prayers, two different results. Some application. Well, how does this apply to me? What's Jesus? What's his point? Well, his point is made in verse 9, really. He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Pharisee. Ah, but he was the religious man looked up to in that day. Look, he knows the Old Testament. And look at all that he does. He looks pious. Oh, he has his student coat on, his tie. Shoes are shined. He's in the house of God frequently. He trusted in his own works, but to no avail. Jesus also warns against arrogance, doesn't he? He warns against arrogance. The Pharisee despised others and he gave us an example. He gave us an illustration. This man over here, I don't like him. I'm glad I'm not like him, God. And then the man prayed a prayer of humility to God. Simple prayer. Direct prayer. Answered prayer. I think these, I'm not like other men. I'm better than they are. Why do you even allow this man to come into the temple court to pray? He's not worthy to even be here. And the man says, I know it. I know it. Whosoever exalted himself will be humble. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. Jesus teaches the value of humility. Jesus elsewhere taught the value of humility with other men when he taught the parable of the chief seats in Luke 14. Where he told folks, you know, if you come to a banquet, don't you go to the head of the table lest the host seat you further away from the head of the table. You might have got a better position had you waited till you, the host seated you initially. Humility. Here he teaches humility before God. Humility before God. Both men were praying to God. What was their attitude in the presence of God? If we are ever to know God, we have to have humility, don't we? There's no way that the Pharisee was ever going to approach God as someone who was greater than he was, as to someone that he would call on in time of need, for he had need of nothing. Humility probably wasn't even in his vocabulary. We also need a sense of our own inadequacy. We need to realize that we can't cope with life, what life throws at us by ourselves. This man felt he could. This Pharisee. Publican didn't. The tax collector didn't. The people told Abraham Lincoln, they told him on occasion that he wasted his time in prayer. This is what he said. I would be the greatest fool on earth if I thought I could carry the burdens which are laid upon me for one day without the help of one who is greater and wiser than I. At least in that one respect, he had a good attitude, didn't he? We need the sense of sin. This man said, be merciful to me, a sinner, the sinner. He recognized that he had sinned. You know, a lot of times the word sin is not in people's vocabulary these days. It's a three-letter word that is seldom heard. Don't talk about it. Call it something else. Yet the Bible still says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we need to recognize that we sin. We need to recognize that Jesus is the answer to our sin problem. And that God has provided that answer through him. You know, as we think about this publican, his humility, well, think of God, of the Apostle Paul, great minister, servant of God, who somewhat later in his life, and we, if we studied his life, we could see a progression through his life. But he said that he was the chief of sinners, the foremost of sinners. Here's a man that was teaching people the gospel, and he recognized that he was nothing without God, but that with God all things were possible. I can do all things through Christ, he said, that strengthens me. The final cure for being self-satisfied is not to set our lives down beside the lives of someone else, but to set our life down beside the life of Jesus and then make the comparison. And we won't point to that tax collector over there. And be thankful, as this Pharisee was, that he was not like him, measuring himself by other men rather than Jesus Christ. James said that he resists the proud. God gives grace to the humble. Be merciful to me, a sinner. One man prayed as if he needed no forgiveness, and he received none. One man prayed simply knowing he needed forgiveness, and he received forgiveness. Each one of us stands in the need of forgiveness, for we all sin. But we need to realize that. We need to acknowledge that to God in our prayers. We need to humbly ask for it. We need to be as David was finally in Psalm 51, verses 1, 2, and 3. The man after God's own heart. And let us be men and women after God's own heart. Have mercy on me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is always before me. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you've studied on your own or with someone, you believe in Christ, you believe that He's the Son of God, you believe that without Him you're lost in your sins, but that God has provided a way through Him that you might have forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross. That believing in Jesus, confessing His name and repenting of your sins to be baptized as in obedience to His will and acting upon your faith, that those sins might be washed away and forgiven. Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, and other places in the book of Acts. If you have that need, or if you need the prayers of this congregation, or wish to be dedicated your life to Christ, let that be known this morning as we stand, as we sing together.